Hey guys, this is Rob Tolliver, the men's pastor at Gateway's North Fort Worth campus, and we want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast. Today we will hear from Pastor Chris Griffin and Mike Whitfield on how responding to the promises of God is changing the lives of men. Let's listen.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Men's Summit Podcast. My name is Todd McIntyre. I'm so glad you're joining us today. I'm excited because we have a different day than we've normally had. We've been listening to Pastor Philip Hunter the last couple weeks talk about the Promise Principle. Philip is the author of the Promise Principle book and really has taught our church how to disciple men in a healthy spiritual way like I've never seen before. And he explained to you last week how discipleship really is discipling your soul to hear from your spirit and the word of God versus hearing from the circumstances and your emotions in your life. It's a phenomenal process that has changed the way we disciple men here on our campus. And I'm excited because we have two guys with us that are spiritual leaders, men's leaders, at two different campuses. One is Chris Griffin, who's over our Frisco campus, our men at our Frisco campus. But he's also a businessman that runs Hover Energy. And so we're excited to talk to Chris about what he's doing on his campus. And we also have Mike Whitfield, who's a businessman who works with Wind Development. And I'm excited to have Mike with us. He's responsible now for discipling the men on his campus in Conway, Arkansas. So we have two guys that I'm excited about. And I just want to welcome you two guys. How you guys doing?
It's great.
Terrific. Thanks.
Well, I want to get right into this. Guys, you know, discipleship in a lot of churches is a lot. You can talk about discipleship. We can go 20 different ways. How has the Promise Principle helped change discipleship at your campuses?
Yeah, thanks, Todd. This is Chris. So I would say that the Promise Principle has completely transformed the way we do discipleship at our Frisco campus. The impact on our men is noticeable. The change in the way we are in a healthy way, listening to the Holy Spirit and then walking out our lives is obvious. And so I think we'll get into a testimony or two in a minute. But very specifically, we've gone from what used to be a few classes or one-on-one mentorship, and it has now become a really small group discipleship that is being led by the Holy Spirit. It's that clear. And the difference is what we used to try to impart to somebody's soul, meaning to their mind and their will and emotions. We would speak to their mind by giving them some information. We would speak to their will by helping them to learn some self-control. And we would speak to their emotions by making it real in some way. Now, the Promise Principle has allowed men to engage their spirit in the process. And so it's gone from a soul-driven exercise to a spirit-driven exercise. And men's spirits are leading the process because God's spirit is leading their spirit.
That's awesome. Mike, I know that you've been doing this now for a couple months on your campuses there in Arkansas, and so this is fairly new for your church. How has it changed discipleship at your church?
So to build on what Chris said really well, it has given people the courage and the encouragement who didn't think that they were equipped to be in discipleship. We're talking about men that show up on Sunday morning, that go to life groups, that are part of Sunday school, if you will, and felt like, but I'm not equipped to lead anything. Young men, high schoolers, that are doing the Bible study on campus, but not really feeling like they're getting anything out of it, other than hey, we're doing it, we're going through the motions. It's kind of like the first time you hit a really good drive. And it all feels, it's like you feel that perfect feeling of where it hits the club face, right? And you only have to do it one time, and then you know what it feels like, and you're hooked for life. If you're into golf, of course. But that same thing is true with hitting a baseball correct or a tennis ball correct. It's like that one time when you connect correctly. What the Promise Principle has done for teenagers, for men that don't quite have that equipping they felt like they had, is it's given them the opportunity to experience the Spirit work. Where they realized, wow, I don't have to go through some big, long training that's intimidating or that I don't think I'm capable of. They've sat through a meeting where they felt the Spirit work. And what they've learned was, I just have to facilitate this meeting and let the Spirit work. I don't have to know the history of the Bible. I don't have to know the history of the Scripture, why it was written, when it was written, what was happening in the day, age, time. I don't have to have a message prepared to teach. All I have to do is facilitate the Spirit showing up and then let the Spirit do the teaching. And it's taking very short time for these kids to transform their lunches into Promise Principle groups where the Spirit works, and they transform over a lunch. Or men who are in conflict with other men at work are now having Promise Principle groups and they're working together, and the Spirit is just working in all these places. And we're seeing that it's starting to permeate every level of ministry in our church. Just because the Spirit's getting a chance to operate instead of a process or a plan or a project.
That's awesome. You know, I know there's guys out there listening and they're thinking, well, what's the difference between the Promise Principle and other discipleship groups? You know, you have Eldridge's books or Pastor Robert's books, and you got all these books out there that a lot of people are using in their discipleship groups to say, let's use this book to help disciple one another. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But what makes this different, in your opinion, Chris, than those types of groups?
Well, a couple things, and it's a great question because it really is the key to the to why it's working and why we're seeing so many people drawn into it. And I would say that the number one reason is authenticity, and it begins with the authentic word. Right? There are great books out there. There's some really great information written by some very anointed people in our country. However, the authenticity of the Word of God is undeniable. And when men's spirits authentically connect with the authentic Word of God, it's undeniable. Like, and so when you sit in a group of six or eight people and somebody suddenly recognizes the Word of God and how it connects to their own spirit, you can't help but notice it because we're all of one spirit, right? And so practicing and doing this on a weekly basis, practicing with other men, that authenticity, it can't be stopped. Like, you can't, God's moving and you get to watch it. You literally can see it. We point it out in our group when guys authentically connect. Guys will literally hit each other on the shoulder and go, did you see that? Did you catch that? Did you notice God move right then? And it's called out amongst the group. And so why is it different? Because it's authentic.
Yeah.
Because men are authentically connecting with the Word of God and then taking the power that's in the Word and placing it over their circumstances. And you know, and it works.
Mike, honestly, I mean, will men really do this? I mean, think about it. They got to pray in front of each other. They got to read in front of each other. Is this really the thing that you think is going to help men? I mean, really, what do you think?
Well, I honestly believe it is the thing. I think it's, in fact, as it's been introduced to the leadership in our church, everyone that gets it says, this is what we've been waiting for. And to build on Chris again, it's the ability for the Spirit to dictate the circumstance, not the circumstance, the circumstance to dictate our spirit, which is what I believe where most men get stuck. And the Promise Principle is a method that allows you to realize I'm not in control. The Bible study that I'm doing isn't in control of me. The book that I'm reading isn't dictating how I should live my life. It's the authentic Word of God. All of our favorite line in the book is literally the last line of the book, where people who are learning about the Promise Principle will say, man, this is so amazing. What's the curriculum? The Bible. Oh, yeah. We know that. But like, what are you doing with the Bible? It's not. It's literally the Bible. Like, no, but what's the method? It's the Bible. It's like this actually is connecting with the Word of God. It's connecting with the Bible on a level that allows you to understand how to apply Scripture to your current situation. Pray that out in your current situation. But the most important key to the Promise Principle that I think distinguishes this from every other thing that I've ever read or done or practiced or tried is the activation aspect of Scripture in your life. Is you're in real time identifying this Scripture speaks to me in my current situation. I'm recognizing that this Scripture has power to my current situation. And instead of just giving that head knowledge and going home going, that was really good, I felt really fed today, in real time, in front of brothers, I'm saying, you know what, I need this. And so I'm going to go to the Lord right now and I'm going to say, God, I'm giving this Scripture the same measure of authority in my life that I have salvation. Like, it is written on my heart. It is real to me. It is now transformatively real in my life. And I am asking you to put this as a reality for me this day forward as part of my identity of who I am, hardwiring this into my spirit. And then suddenly you see men transform as they pray these prayers of activation, where they're activating the word of God into their current situation. And then they walk back into their situation, into their wife, into their family, into their job, into their stress with transformative scriptural basis to who and what they are and why they're doing what they're doing. They have confidence that they've never had before. They have strength that they've never had before. And it's all rooted in the truth of the word of God.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, I want to throw in a little curveball, and I want to kind of talk a little bit about the how-tos and the whys we do what we do. Chris, you know, when in a typical Bible study, one guy preaches and everyone kind of sits around and watches. It's kind of like a mini church service. This group is different. And why do you think this group is so attractive to the men in your church? Why has it been so attractive to the guys that come to your group?
Well, that's a great question. Let me back up for a second. I'll just sort of walk through what's happened and then why some of those leaders have then passed it on to others. And it's been so inviting. But first of all, we've been meeting every week for about 3 years, right? And the people that have come through are now leading in a bunch of different areas, right? So there are, for example, the last 10 deacons that were nominated at our campus, all of them came from our group. That's pretty amazing, right? The last 10, they were nominated. Now, none of them were nominated by me. They were all nominated by other pastors. So wow. Other people recognized the health in these men and said, those men need to be leading, and put them in a position that is, as a volunteer level, deacons are sort of the highest level of volunteers, right? These are the people who are supposed to be leading the church. So pastors recognize these people are healthy. So why that's relevant to the question is because when people see that there's health, they're attracted to it. Mm. And so when it's so attractive that you want to put those people in other positions, and those people who have now been through it, other people come to them and say, these leaders that are all over the church, and say, how'd you get there? They say, well, I started in a Promise Principle group, right? And the first question is, well, what's different about it, right? Why? How has that led? Tell me a little bit about that. And so I want to make sure that's clear in the answer, because that's more of it happens just through word of mouth than us doing some massive recruiting campaign. In fact, I don't think we've ever advertised that you need to go to a Promise Principle group. It just happens because other men are telling other men, and that's important. So when we get together, we have about 20 or 30 people show up every week. We had 21 this morning, and we break into multiple smaller groups. And so what happens in that smaller group is rather than somebody teach or preach or what have you, there's a couple of guidelines we always live by. One is we read the entire chapter, and it's one chapter each week. Men have been reading it all week, and they come to the morning that we do it, and they've read it, and they have already highlighted or underlined verses that have spoken to them, that the Holy Spirit may have highlighted and said, hey, you need to pray about this verse for some reason. Whether they know the reason or not doesn't matter yet. They just have highlighted it. So that's the first guideline. When we sit down as a group anywhere from 6 to 8 men, we then read it out loud again. There's something amazing about actually hearing scripture, right? Especially when other men are reading it. One of the things we love about that is everybody has a different version of the Bible. So we hear all these different versions, and that's sometimes really fun for how we receive the word in that very moment. Yeah. So that's always very important. But then probably most importantly, and one of the things that's the biggest shift from what typical Bible studies are, is we really encourage men to stay away from the words we and us, right? That when people use words we and us, they're typically preaching.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible says to us, so we should all know. We steer clear of that completely. We tell most people that it's not personal. It's not selfish, but it is personal, which means we want you to make it personal by using I and me. And what does this verse have to do with you? What does this verse have to do with some specific circumstance in your life? And why did the Holy Spirit highlight it to you? Not why you think he highlighted it to us. Let our spirits figure that out. But let's figure out why the Holy Spirit highlighted it to you. So some guidelines there in how we respond to the word. We then, when men are responding to those words, and you can go through the Promise Principle mechanics, but there's really only two ways to respond, right? We either receive it with thanks or we ask for it by faith. And when we do those things, we then take that our specific circumstances and apply it to it. So just as you heard Mike say a moment ago, this is real-time activation of the power in the Word of God through either a receiving, which men aren't typically very good at.
Yeah.
So receiving is very important to just say, Lord, I receive it. You died on the cross for my sins. Thank you. I appreciate that. I gratefully receive that right now in the name of Jesus. However, if we're asking the Lord to do something for us and we're saying, Lord, it says to be anxious for nothing, and I'm still anxious right now because I have a meeting that I'm a little concerned about, but your word says be anxious for nothing, that's a command, and it doesn't feel like that to me right now. Help me to be anxious for nothing right now. Why is it that that word was written so long ago and we still have to hear it? It's because our spirits hadn't been trained to employ the power that is in that word. And so men are actually doing those things. And while they're doing it, they're becoming more healthy. And as healthy men, they're being elevated to positions where they lead. And that's the part that I think is most powerful about what we're doing.
You know, I love it. Just it reminded me of a thought I heard one time. God doesn't like to fix things. He recreates things. He makes all things new. And so, Mike, I know we've talked about one of the aspects in our groups is we pray. We have every man pray. And you and I have talked about this, but I just want you to share, why do you think, what do you think the power of the of prayer is, and why it's so important that you don't just talk about the scripture, but you're praying the scripture? What do you feel about that?
So we use salvation as the blueprint. It's the foundation. A lot of times we'll as we're introducing this to a group of guys or someone's coming to understand this for the first time, we'll look at salvation and say, okay, if you read a book about salvation, does that make you saved? No. If you listen to a sermon about salvation, does it make you saved? No. If you talk about it, think about it, even pray about it, but you're not actually going to the Lord and going through the process of activation of salvation, You're just learning, gaining head knowledge, but it's about writing it on your heart and confessing before men that truly makes you saved and truly makes you right with God. And that is a blueprint for every other promise in the Bible as well. Because the truth is, if God wouldn't force salvation on you, but rather he would want you to go through the process of recognition, believing, and receiving, then he wants you to go through that process with every other promise equally to activate them and apply them in your life. We believe that the church is really good, Big C Church is really good at bringing people to the activation prayer of salvation, but then they're sitting in the audience going, what do I do next? Like, okay, so you said that now that I've activated salvation, all these things are mine, and they are, but God's not going to force those on you, because if he would force those on you but not salvation, it by definition would make those things more important than salvation in the first place. He's not going to do it. He wants you to go through the same process of recognition, believing, and receiving with every promise in the Bible. I think that that's a little piece that we miss. So when we're teaching guys how to pray these prayers of activation, the prayer matters. You were just talking about Philippians 4:6. I mean, it tells us to be anxious for nothing, to pray for everything, okay? Different versions with prayer and supplication. You know, I'm just going straight, pray for everything,
yeah.
Right? Be anxious for nothing, pray for everything. Thank him for what he's given you. Tell him what you need. And if you go through those four things, you have peace that transcends understanding. And so for us, it's teaching guys, hey, praying over everything is important. But we encourage our guys to not pray for help unless they don't have a promise. In other words, if you're going through a situation, you're like, man, I don't know what to do. God, I need you to help me. Totally acceptable when we're teaching our guys to pray. But if God lays a promise on you right then and there, and you know it, and that guy says, I read this scripture, and it says that I'm not good at listening to my wife, and the Holy Spirit's convicting me that I need to listen to my wife. And then that guy goes and he prays, and he says, God, help me listen to my wife. I would stop him back and say, all right, let's go back to salvation as the blueprint. If you were going to salvation, and we were going down that path, would you say, God, help me be saved? Or would you say, God, you promise through your sacrifice and through a relationship with you that my sins are covered and that I'm redeemed and I'm saved, and I receive that right now. And we would say, look, God's given you a promise. He's given you the help now. Receive it. Respond to it. Ask him to give it to you so that you have authority of that. You know, one of my favorite things that Philip ever taught me was that a promise is only equal to the measure of authority that that promise has in your life. Mm. If the promise has no authority in your life, then you're not going to be able to live under it, and you will live in your circumstance. But when the promise has authority, then you live in the promise. salvation is something that every Christian has in common. Maybe in some cases, the only thing we all have in common. We can all go back to that fundamental core. Do you believe that Jesus is both your Lord and Savior? And if the answer is yes, then we have something fundamentally in common that we can bite into, which is that is written on the DNA of our heart. It has such authority that on our dying breath, we would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So why is it that when it comes to my wife, for example, we could get in an argument and my wife would say something that would frustrate me so much that I would lose my peace. But she could never say anything that would make me question whether or not I was going to heaven or that I was a child of God or that my salvation was in question. That's so firmly written on my heart, it can't be taken away from me. Yet I lose peace so easily. Why? The easy answer, in my opinion, is that I've not given peace the same authority in my life that I've given my salvation, which means that I need to go back to the Word, get that promise, and respond to that promise. The Bible says we can't even confess that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the authority to give promises authority in the first place. We recognize that. So let's go to it and let's dig in and let's say, Holy Spirit, I'm having a problem with peace. You've given me this verse about peace. I received that promise. And right now, through your power and your word, I give that promise the same authority, the same hardwiring in my DNA that I give my salvation. In the name of Jesus, I need this now. I receive it, and I recognize this as part of who I am. What we have found is that when men pray like that, what happens in the group dynamic is men are doing several things. Number one, they're confessing in front of other men, which is scriptural. Mm-hmm. That's getting accomplished, but without me looking at you going, Todd, I got a problem I need to talk to you about. I'm confessing. No, what I'm doing is I'm responding to my current situation with the Holy Spirit in front of you. You're learning what's really going on in my heart through confession to the Lord, but to you at the same time. I'm also recognizing where I need forgiveness, and I'm recognizing where I do need help, but I'm asking God to, you've said this is a promise. I need it. I want to receive it right now. Boom. What we're seeing is that men who would normally be coming back struggling with the same things over and over and over again are actually transforming, and they're not struggling in the same way. They're rebounding faster from the sin to the Spirit. Instead of this long, cavernous gap, they're rebounding quickly going, oh, I recognize this. I'm rebounding faster because I changed my DNA the other day when I prayed this with authority and gave this authority in my mouth. I'm not the same guy anymore. I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that change wasn't real. And I gave that the same authority as my salvation. I have hardwired myself to this. I can't do this anymore. And we're seeing the measure of authority that is truly changing guys' lives. So the forgiveness happens, the confession happens, the recognition happens, and the authority happens all through this method because the Holy Spirit is doing the teaching. And all the while, the guy who's leading this is just facilitating. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to have a Bible degree. He didn't have to have a seminary degree. He didn't have to go through a big, giant training process. In fact, one of the pastors was telling me a story yesterday that I work with, that he's been doing the same group for 6 years, and they've read books, tapes, movies, videos, done all kinds of different things, and 3 weeks ago, they started a promise principle in that group. He got sick. He missed this last week, and all the guys called him and said, yeah, we promise principled without you, and it was amazing. This happened, and this happened, this happened, and it was the first time in his life in 6 years that he felt like the group was able to be self-sufficient without him there leading.
That's so good.
That's a testimony to the discipleship value of this.
That is so good. Chris, you want to add to that?
I do. I think from a testimony standpoint, what we do in our group today and we did this morning is I ask a different guy to lead it every week because it's really Holy Spirit led, right? Yeah. And the practice of doing this is just for one person to be a point person to kind of keep things moving. But he's not really leading because we're reading the Bible and the Spirit is leading. And once that happens in practice three or four times, then any one of those men can recognize it and tune into it. And when they start to tune into it, it becomes really powerful. I want to offer two to follow on what Mike said, which was really great. There are two comments I've heard from men in the last few months that I thought are really, really impressive. There's one there's one man, his name's Jason, who has been coming for about a year. And back in September, he made a comment that's my favorite comment of the year. He's one of those guys just really raw and real, and you're going to get whatever's on his mind. Like, there's no filter, right? And yet, that is a beautiful thing when it's spirit-led, right? It's a powerful thing in the middle of a group when he just tells it like it is. And guys immediately say, yeah, I know, I've felt that too. And he said something back in September that I've never forgotten, and I might make it my favorite phrase of the year, where he just one day, we were in the middle of the group, it was halfway through, he stopped and he slammed his fist on the table and he said, "This is working." And when he said that, everybody was like, "Yeah, it is." And so I pressed him. I was like, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "I'm different now than when I got here. I used to be a little worried and concerned, and I kind of isolated. Now I can't wait to hang out with you guys, and I can't wait to get to church, and I can't wait to be plugged into community. And I'm more confident, and I feel better." It was really kind of a fun statement, and yet was so right on the money about how so many men in that group felt. There's another gentleman by the name of Todd who started coming about 7 or 8 months ago.
Great name, by the way.
Yes, that's right. And he said this morning, as we were wrapping up the group, he stopped everybody. He said, before everybody goes, he goes, "I don't really like to do this, but let me just say this. This has been the most powerful group of men in my life ever." Now, he's about 40. He's got two children that are 13 years old and a wonderful wife. They're a great family. But he's had struggles like every other man. Mm-hmm. He's gone through challenges. He's had to overcome some pretty significant stuff from his family and from his childhood and then from, you know, what's going on in his life. As like a lot of men, has run off and run away from God for a long time. And he said this morning, "This has changed how I view life. This is, I look forward to it. And every single man around this table has made an impact on my life. And I know it means something for my children and for my marriage. And I just can't." And he started to cry, which he does every once in a while.
It actually happens a lot.
Yeah, right. And so he starts to cry and he throws all that out there. But what it said to me is, that's what this is all about. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is legacy changing. It's the kind of thing that takes the kingdom and says and puts it on display. It says, look what we can do when we all come together and we all do the things that God has called us to do. When we all respond to the power that's in his word, when we all start to live it out, it impacts our wives, our families, our friends, and everything we do in life. And I can tell you personally, it impacts my business just as well.
Guys, this is so exciting. I am so pumped about hearing what God is doing in your campuses and in the middle of your church. You know, one of the things we talk a lot about at Gateway is we don't want to have a men's ministry. We want to have a movement of men that are building the church and changing the world. And so Promise Principle, really, from my understanding, from what you guys are doing, this isn't just something that you have to do in the four walls of the church. Where is this taking place at your campuses?
Well, this is Chris. Well, it's not really taking place in the campus, right? It's taking place outside the walls of the church. And so there were six guys that started our first group 3 years ago. All six of them have taken this somewhere else at this point. One of them has taken it to the Toyota headquarters here in the DFW area that just came in a few years ago. There's 4,000 people in that headquarters, and they do a group every week. Another guy is taking it to Mexico City, where he's brought it to 1,500 students at a student conference, and they asked him to come back and do it again. Then a third group of guys have taken it and put it on a conference call, where they've started a conference call-in line, and they're actually doing it for all men who travel for business.
Wow.
So that people are calling in from all over the country and dialing in and then walking through the Promise Principle and being impacted with whatever hotel room they are in some part of the country.
Mike, how about you guys? Where are you guys doing your Promise Principle group?
So again, out of the core group, it's now permeated into three different businesses that those guys either own or are a part of. It's happening on the junior high school, and college level at various meeting places on the campuses. We're about to start doing it inside a Chick-fil-A inside of Arkansas, which is just phenomenal. And you see this also permeating the ministries that are going outside, the outreach ministries that are going into the community. It's amazing. It's like one person gets the bug And then and then he connects with it. He hits that perfect drive and goes, everyone needs to know about this. Then the next thing you know, it's a father-son reading a book about, saying the modern day night. They're doing a modern day night group. And then it goes in there and they go, hey, this week, let's do this. And then that kid is opening up about his weakness. The dad recognizes, opens up his, and they bond and they connect. And then they take it to a school or a business from there. It's like it daisy chains from place to place to place to place as it affects and connects the Holy Spirit and the Word to the people that are participating.
I love that. You guys, this has been an incredible day for me to hear you guys' testimonies and to see what's happening, not just at Gateway, but really it's all over the world now. The Promise Principle, the men's movement that we're talking about is happening, and it's not something we have to force or control or put rules on. It is just going. I want to thank you for that. And I want to tell all of our listeners real quick, if you would like to start a Promise Principle in your area, your church, your business, wherever, email us. My email is real simple. It's todd.mcintyre, M-C-I-N-T-Y-R-E, @gatewaystaff.com. And I'd love to help you start this on your campus, start this at your church, start this at your Starbucks, start this at your Toyota Center or somewhere down in Mexico City. That'd be great. We'd love to be a part of that. So again, it's todd.mcintyre@gatewaystaff.com. Thank you again for listening to the Men Summit podcast. And I can't wait to talk to you next week.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Be sure to check out gatewaypeople.com for all things happening at our amazing church. And if you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.